This is Talking with the Gravy Train on Ski Tracks, the latest in Nordic ski talk and news. And now your host, Peter Graves.
Hello again, everyone, and welcome to another edition of Talking with the Gravy Train. I'm Peter Graves. We have Chandra Crawford as our special guest today, from talking with us from her home in Canmore, Alberta. And it's great to have you on the program today. Thanks a lot for joining us.
Thank you for having me. Always a pleasure to be involved with all the great coverage Ski Tracks gives our community.
Absolutely. Well, we enjoy talking with you. So let's talk about last season a little bit first, and just lay the foundation and talk about, you know, it was, I think, February when you decided to take a break from competition. But I want to go back a little bit to kind of the beginning of last season and to ask you how, as you started your preparation and, you know, you knew the World Cups were looming up at Quebec City and also at your hometown in Canmore. How are you feeling approaching the beginning of last season, Chandra?
Well, I was feeling optimistic approaching the beginning of last season. I had worked so much harder than ever, and so that was all exciting, and I love to race, and it's always nice when we get to transition to racing. So that part was all good, but my body was feeling really awful, and I can look back on the logs and the records of that time. And even in the fall, in November, I was starting to race, and I couldn't fall asleep at night without stretching my quads out. And I'm generally quite limber, lucky to be quite flexible. So that I was that stiff that my legs were really aching. And we know in cross-country skiing, that's a pretty bad sign. Mm-hmm. And that had been going on most of the training season. So feeling good in the excitement to race, but bad in the body.
Yeah, and the World Cups in Canmore and Quebec City. Talk to me a little bit about that in that period of time.
Well, there's nothing better than racing at home. I think that's the most important vehicle for development for our sport in North America by far. You get the exposure for the next generation. The athletes, we get our best results here at home. We get the encouragement. It gives back to the community. You get to showcase the sport to the sponsors and the general public. So really, big pat on the back to everyone who works so hard to make that happen. I know it's extremely hard. So that's always a great opportunity and one that I don't take for granted at all and that I make a huge focus on. So I was doing my best. I really wanted to do a lot better in Quebec, and I think we all wanted to, as a team, do better in Quebec. Luckily, the Americans pulled through and had some wonderful results, especially with all the fans there that came up from the States. But then Canmore was a really incredible experience, as it always is. There's always just more magic in there. Something incredible can happen when we get to race at home here, right here in my hometown where I was born and learned to ski. And I think that superhuman performance of kept sneaking through as lucky loser based on my time, and making it through the rounds just by the skin of my teeth, and qualifying for the Olympics with a top six result. So big credit to the Canmore Energy for pulling that out of not the best shape or body I've ever taken to the start line.
Well, you certainly have a lot of support there. I mean, in Canada, of course, but also particularly in Canmore, and both of those World Cups, which I, along with Randy Ferguson, were privileged to be the public address announcers for. They were great fun and really showcased North American skiing in a big way.
Mm-hmm.
So tell me, when you made your decision, which was in February, as we said, what did you factor in to make that decision?
Had a lot of factors that made the decision actually surprisingly quite easy. And that was mainly the analysis of what I'd done the last year of training, of finally sitting down and holding that up against my previous years, and taking some personal accountability to really look at the numbers myself and look at what I've been doing, how I've been feeling, and taking stock of all the factors that led to why I was feeling so stiff and so much pain and moving so slowly. So Those were the main factors, were just looking at the training load and how I had done four times the amount of intensity, way more volume, a lot of it too fast, more strength than ever. And a big thing for me, which was just doing much less of the easy trail running that I know is so key for someone as already as muscle bound as I am, and really with sprint physiology, needing to get out there and oxygenate the muscles and go for the long runs. So a lot of these things all played in, and all the stresses I'd had in the past year and not quite getting a handle on those. So looked at that. I had probably five good reasons. I thought, this is not going to come back, and it's not worth trudging it out when I have an Olympic year that I could come into rested, grounded, and ready to take on the Olympic year, which is quite a beast, as I've noticed now after the last two Olympics.
Yeah, indeed so. And I think you were quoted as saying just solid burnout. And so when you left the World Cup Tour and went home, I guess you went home, but tell me some of the things that you did to try to get back in the groove.
Well, the main thing I did that was, in working with my coaches from CCC at the time, we were looking at not putting deadlines on things, because that would kind of create two things for me. Either I would push myself to try and reach a deadline of recovery and be disappointed if it didn't happen, or I'd push myself and convince myself I was fine again, because that's a power athletes have, is to perform and take whatever state you're in and turn it into performance. That's something that's been so useful for me, but was a system that I had completely overtaxed. So we wanted to watch out for that. Just kind of kept it open. This could take several months. We're not going to say how many. And then I made one big change that made a big difference, and the key word there is change. And my parents were driving me home from the airport, because I'd come home early. I was telling them all of what I was going to do. I was going to, fly to Mexico and go on vacations, and I had all these plans.
Mm-hmm.
And my parents never tell me what to do. They are just so hands-off and supportive. And then my dad said, you know what, honey, if you want a different outcome, you might want to try doing something different. And all this rushing around that I do and putting too much on my plate. So I said, you're right. And I canceled all my plans and just settled in at home. I spent midweek doing therapy, all kinds of different stuff to regain energy physically, mentally, all over the map. And then I would have fun on the weekends and alpine ski just to let off some steam. So
that's wonderful. So, as we get to this point now, have you recaptured some of the fun and some of the essence that you were looking for?
Yeah, I have. And it was just such a rough time because I just wasn't even convinced that I would, be up for doing the next year. I thought, well, if I'm just going to, lose my health and whatnot. And I was talking to Keegan Randall and Liz Steven over Skype, and they're in Europe, and they just said, we've been through these hard periods ourselves, and we just want you to know that it's going to be okay. Don't make major decisions, and don't feel like you've lost your motivation because you're actually just tired. And, the real you is under there. So that was helpful to have the patience. And then coming around through April and finding the energy was a big thing. It was still really hard to make the decision to pursue the year and continue. But when I made the decision to train independently and with a small women's group here in Canmore,
mm-hmm.
do things more simple and with high quality and without distractions. So that was really a difference maker. And now I have a lot of energy in training to get back into, get into the fitness that I need to continue performing.
Yeah, I would certainly think it is a real challenge to keep that freshness and with all the training and all the traveling and all that. And it's certainly, I think if there's a one thing that we've all learned from Keegan, really, it's that, resiliency is needed. And this stuff doesn't happen in an instant. It takes time and takes years to build on. So that's interesting that you got wise counsel from her.
Oh yeah, friends and all kinds of great people in my life to lean on, absolutely.
So then you came back, I think you skied at the U.S. Nationals, didn't you, out in California?
I didn't ski, and I'd been off formal training for months, so that was not really appropriate to jump in and race.
Oh, okay.
All these plans, and the main plan was that I would come down and we would go have a 30th birthday for Keegan, because of course her birthday is December 31st, so middle of the Tour de Ski. No real chance to properly celebrate Keegan turning 30. So I had this plan and I had a commitment until I came down to Truckee there on the last day, and I got to see all my friends, and we spent a weekend alpine skiing in Squaw Valley.
Oh, that's awesome. So now who you were named to the team, and then I guess, and correct me if I'm wrong, if I have the terminology wrong, you declined that nomination. So you're training on your own right now. I know you're training with a couple of other women up there, three of them, I think. But who are you working with personally as far as coaching goes?
On the personal side, I'm working with Peter Larsson out of Sweden as my coach. Mm-hmm. We've worked together since 2009 when he retired from skiing in that fall, and Inga Broughton was our coach at the time. And so Inga just hired him on the spot, and he came on the World Cup with us and started right away coaching and sharing his information in that kind of Scandinavian way that they live and breathe skiing, right? Mm-hmm. Kind of style of it just being so entrenched in the culture. And then kept up working with him over the next 4 years. He came to Canada every summer to train with me, or he'd come at Christmas when I wasn't doing Tour de Ski. We would work on technique, tactics, really getting into the video, watching a lot of World Cup and all the different styles of all the skiers. And that's always been really useful for me. So we have this long-standing partnership that we're just going full on with now and doing all the things that we know really work.
Mm-hmm. And how is your training going now? Is it and is it any different than it has been in other years?
The main difference is there's no stress, because I really like to be involved in my training plan. I really, there are different ways to do it. There's definitely a lot of strength in a good coaching relationship where you can say, okay, good little soldier, you just follow this plan and you'll be the greatest. But for me, I need to be really involved and really like to do that. So just to be able to do things that I just feel so strongly about, you know, I've been in this body for 29 years and
right.
what it feels like. And I know what kind of things can really make a difference. So that's really nice. You know, when I wake up on a Saturday morning, I know I get to do a trail running race, and I haven't done that in 4 years, and I've always really wanted to. And I think it's the best thing for my fitness. Wow, do I believe so strongly what I'm doing. So I really appreciate that lack of stress. And then just having that leeway, having that grace from the national team to be able to train on my own through the summer and still join the team in the fall, which is, I know, an extremely unique situation. And you know, they had to be really black and white about how that would go. That's okay, you're completely off the team. Then in the fall, there'll be a big integration process and you can be back on. But that's been really, really great.
Well, good. And now Zoe Roy and some other gals are training with you. How's that going?
That's going well. Yeah, that's an interesting setup as well. And I think fairly unprecedented to have this group, because we do have our own individual coaches and we have individual strengths and things we want to work on. But what we can do by coming together is put in the accountability, put in the, hey, you said you wanted to work on upper body, or you said you wanted to run faster. What are we going to do to reach our goals together? So we have our little planning meetings, and we look at each other's goals. We had one yesterday with Sarah Renner, where we started our workout with having a coffee with Sarah to get some advice out of some of these great resources we have around town here. It's going really well. You know, it's really nice to be cooperating and doing something 100% because we chose to, right? No one's making us do this. No one's saying you should work together. We're just finding strength in that style.